Guys, I think we're live. Welcome, everybody, to the Untold History Channel. My name is Ron Partain, and I am joined tonight by everybody's favorite ghost, because it's Monday night, and so time for Monday Night with Ghost, and Shelly, who is no slouch herself. And Shelly, you know, a lot of you guys may not know Shelly. You may know her from the chat, but Shelly is somebody who has a very extensive background in how government works. So both Shelly and Ghost bring extraordinary insider views on how things work, each from different perspectives. So welcome both of you tonight. It is, and by the way, it is it's Monday, February the 3rd. So 2025, and it feels like it's February the 3rd, 2026 already. So it's like a, it feels like a year has passed. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I was I'm a little like astonished that it's even February. So it still feels like it's December. So
it's Cliff High calls it hyper novelty, like where everything just keeps, like the rate of information and change and everything is the hose just keeps pouring more and more at you that it's hard to keep up with.
Well, that's true. I think that's absolutely true. It's like a fire hose.
Yep.
We're literally drinking from a fire hose right now.
Yeah.
It's absolutely insane. So,
yeah.
But anyway, well, what do you guys want to talk about first? I mean, it just, it doesn't feel like there's really much to talk about. So maybe we should just close the show now.
Yeah, right.
The hardest thing is to prioritize, I think.
Right. Yeah. That is definitely the hardest thing to do. At this point,
talk about airplanes or cars. I mean, no, I'm just kidding. Anything. No, we
well, speaking of helicopters and planes, you know, we did have a.
Oh, I didn't mean that. I'm sorry.
Well, first, you know what? I've downloaded several video clips, and I guess we could start. I'm going to start with the one with the guy confessing that January 6th was an inside job, and he mentions a couple of politicians by name. So
can I say something about the flights first before we get into
that? Sure, absolutely, 100%.
There's a website out there, and what it does, and it's done it for many, many, many years. You can go back many years, by the month, by the day, and you see every incident reported in the world, whether it's you know, the little tractor back in the plane out and something happens, no matter how small the incident, even up into including fatal accidents, everything is in there. Now, there is no shortage of crashes and accidents. By the grace of God, most of the crashes, no one dies, or usually it's a very small number of private planes. But I say all this to say that there is constantly things happening in that realm. And yes, these are dramatic, and these, you know, the one going down of the Potomac and then the one crashing in Philadelphia, that if they would have crashed in the middle of nowhere, who knows what we would have heard, you know, would have been if the helicopter collided with a plane in the middle of nowhere, Nebraska, would it have made the same sound, let's say. So bear that in mind, that I think personally, I don't see any big conspiracies behind these crashes or any connection to them, to be honest with you, of the one medevac boy that was going back to Tijuana and stopping off in Branson for refueling. And I don't see what I'm saying is, you know, people need to be careful that because someone in their social engineering position or apparatus decided to say, hey, let's focus on these now. And, you know, they just were gifts handed to them. Let's put them out there and get people all postulating on this, that, and the other thing. When in reality, there's very little evidence to say anything other than somebody screwed up big time in D.C. and God knows what happened in Philadelphia. And then there, I think there was one, the F-35, that there was some kind of catastrophic failure and that plane just flat stalled and spun into the ground and pilot punched out. And I know people were saying, look at his landing gear is down. And at that height, well, what you typically do, and most fighter pilots, I'm sure, would back this up, even though I wasn't a fighter pilot, but in any aircraft, if you've got a failure, if you can get altitude, the more altitude you can get and bail out, the safer you're going to be. So his landing gear was down. I don't think he was too worried about putting it back up on the F-35. He probably knew he was out of power. He was going to pull it up and go as high as he could so that, A, the aircraft doesn't just keep going straight and careen into something he didn't want it to.
Oh, I think you're talking about the you're talking about that F-18.
It was an F-35.
It was an F-35? I thought it was an F-18.
At Island Air Force Base in Alaska.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So yeah. I don't know. There could have been an F-18 incident. I haven't been keeping up, but you'll see that there's been many incidents since these happened. Matter of fact, the very next day, there were incidents being listed. So, you know, with all of that, I'm not going to go off on tangents or half-baked theories until something slips out or NTSB has something intelligent to say, and it's far too early for that. So I just wanted to say that before we touch upon that.
Yeah, I will have some comments about the DC one. We don't have to talk about it now, but
we can talk about it right now. I mean, it's we're talking about planes now, so
My personal opinion, okay, Ron and I had this discussion. I, first of all, having lived in D.C., I lived in Crystal City in a 10th floor apartment that overlooked Reagan Airport. So I'm very familiar with that area. Also, because of the work that I did with the Coast Guard, I'm very familiar with the Coast Guard has the low and slow helicopter, has the mission to protect airspace for what they call the slow and slow. So one of the things I can tell you is that DC is the most helicopter density aviation space you can imagine. And the whole situation with that occurring, I can tell you, does not make any sense whatsoever. And I can tell you, I sat many nights. You can see the operations every minute a plane is landing and taking off. And it is so consistent that you know to look to the right and to the left, no matter what. And so when they put that helicopter on visuals, there is no way in hell it got confused with the one that was taking off, which is the story behind why this happened. So I do not believe what we're being told. So when you don't believe what's being told, there is something behind it. And this was another interesting thing that happened is when Hegseth in his comments, I don't know if you guys saw this, but he talked about what the helicopter was doing for training mission. You know what he said? Do you guys know?
Mm-mm.
he talked about they were doing a continuity of operations training. Okay. They were doing a COG, which I worked on COG when I worked with the Coast Guard. I did interagency work and I know exactly what he's talking about. So the fact that he actually brought that into the conversation, there is something going on from a messaging standpoint. There is no way in hell this was some accident. Zero. I don't know exactly why it happened, or whose side it was, but there's too many things here.
I just think we have to wait until more comes out before we start making any. We can say, yeah, something stinks. But I talked to a former Air Force tanker pilot and I said, what's the real situation with that? And he said, well, with that type of military flight, even though it was training, no matter who was in it, he said, they actually have the right of way, even though it's an approach. And it was up to the tower, which there was only one individual in at the time, which is unbelievable. So the tower to tell that other craft to either go around or, then after that wasn't happening, to try to avoid by reaching out to both as quickly as possible to say, you know, take evasive maneuvers, you're going to collide. So, you know, there's a lot of things involved that, yeah, let's see how hinky it gets over time.
Well, no, my whole point is I'm going to tell you this, that if you're the rate of flights coming in and going out, you have to, anybody has to have that's flying over the Potomac and heading directly into the pathway of very well known flights.
Right.
It always goes that way. So this whole thing about, well, there were that what's been some of the assessment, oh, they got the wrong, because they were given that manual control, it's your job as the helicopter to avoid staying out of the planes.
They should have been 150 feet lower is what they should have
been.
So
the whole point, there's several things that stink about it. One, oh, you have visual, the tower said you have visual of this aircraft. Then we're going to give you the control of staying out of the pathway. Well, everybody knows what the pathways are not. They're the flights
are not arbitrary.
Are 100% known where they have to be because of their arc, their where they're landing when they're coming onto the runway. So there's and you always know in the DC area that you come directly over the Potomac, they all do, and then they take off. It's like clockwork. So anybody flying a helicopter in DC area knows you got stuff going off to the right and you got stuff coming on to the left from where they were coming from. There's no way you don't have eyes on both. And there's no way you don't know what level of altitude you should be at in order to avoid a crash. So there's zero. And you know, they are also there's also remote control capabilities on these helicopters and on. So maybe at some point that helicopter was not being controlled by the aviation crew that was on it. I don't know, but that could be a possible option. I have no idea, but all I can tell you is that this was not just a pure oh shit accident, because there's something behind it. And then the fact that Hegseth, he didn't have to talk about this being a continuity of government operation at all. That's the first time and it's like, what's a COG? Most people don't even know what a COG is. So I don't know what the purpose is. I can't say it, but I know it was not an accident. There was something behind it. That's all I'm saying.
You know, it's interesting. I saw a very interesting brief video this morning, and I don't know, I can't find it, but it was during the 80s, and Oliver North was being questioned, and they asked him
about the
continuity of government, yeah. And then the one of the it was I don't know if it was a senator
anyway. It's
a training flight for Cobb because they go on night and day because you never know when you're going to have to pick somebody up on an emergency notice.
Well, Ron is talking about
this is what they were training about. Right, this is what they were training for.
Ron's referencing the I saw that, Ron.
I don't know if it was for Rex 84 or what it was, but it was. But he was being questioned by a senator about the continuity of government. And then I think it was the Hawaiian senator who was the chair.
In a way.
And he's like, no, we can't talk about that. We need to do that. And we can set it up in a private session, but we can't talk about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'm telling you, I worked on COG. I mean, I had most of what I was doing when I worked after 9/11, I mean, the biggest mission we had was COG.
Yeah.
I mean, besides defending
COG, I mean, continuity of government was, that's basically FEMA, you know, continuity of government was something that was started during the Cold War in the event of a nuclear exchange.
Yes.
And so they could have, you know, they could have some sort of a semblance of government remain in place. But mm-hmm. after the Soviet Union collapsed, then they converted the continuity of government into something a lot more sinister to kind of take over the government. And I, you know, there's a really, really good article that was done on a conservative treehouse, I think. And it talked about how the Obama administration used the cover of fighting for Obamacare and back in 2000, between 2008 and 2010, they used that as a cover to implement all of the and put in place all of the the mechanisms behind the scenes with intelligence, giving the intelligence community authority, basically a hidden branch of government. That nobody was really aware that was there and that was completely unaccountable to the people.
Right. So as I say, always there's a double-edged sword to a lot of things. And, you know, certainly having a continuity of government makes a lot of sense, right? You still have to put the means in place for the government to somehow operate. Because it is that, first of all, the one job of the federal government is to defend, okay, the states, and so we do have a defense role. The problem is that those that understood that they could hijack that, and they could create false flags and scenarios where, well, if we get rid of the legitimate government and we take over, so you know,
it's interesting exactly. It's interesting that you talk about that. Have either of you ever seen the television show? It was a television series that came out mid 2000s called Jericho.
I have not seen it, but I think I may have seen. episodes, but
I should do that as a watch party sometime because it was not very realistic. However,
you never know.
it did talk about 26 cities in the United States that went up in where they were nuked, and they had it was essentially a coup d'etat where they destroyed all these cities, and then they and like I think Cheyenne, Wyoming was the capital of the western half of the United States, and it basically everything, the Mississippi was the dividing line, and everything east of the Mississippi was going with the new capital was Columbus, Ohio, and west of the Mississippi the new capital was Cheyenne, Wyoming, and then Texas was kind of its own republic on its own, and both of them were trying to vie for Texas to join them, and then there was essentially going to be a civil war. So, it kind of speaks to what you're talking about there, about, you know, creating a false flag or, a really, really mm-hmm. severe situation to completely overthrow the existing government.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I always thought COG meant a collection of grifters. we got to get all our people, collect all the grifters. Yeah. You know,
that is absolutely true. Well, let's kind of move on a little bit. Well, yeah. You know, speaking of false flags, maybe this would be a good thing to go to. This is I think this guy was from Michigan, and I don't know if he's a state representative or what he is, but he's in government somehow, some way. And he actually mentions, some politicians by name that were involved in January 6th. So let me play this.
Why wasn't there more security?
Yeah, there were 30 guards out back there.
It was ridiculous.
You think it was D.C., the mayor influenced?
I think she was just a public.
Yeah.
I think it was kind of high.
How does that?
Mitch McConnell was part of it.
I was going to say.
He was the one that was part of the decision making how much security they have on stand. I think they wanted to have a mess.
I know they wanted to. There's no other explanation.
The moment, like.
But they wouldn't have had a mess with you guys. They had to have also recruited this other group of people. And then I do believe, because I don't know if you guys have been caught up in it or not, but when you're in mobs, you can get caught up in emotion.
Oh, yeah, I was ready to go.
You can get caught up in emotion.
Especially when you're getting tear gas and
stuff. Some folks probably just got caught up in the emotion of it.
Well, they had a guy with a loudspeaker up on that tower. There was a tower in the middle of everything in the back. And there was a dude on a loudspeaker hanging everybody on, telling everybody what to do. Like, reinforce this side, reinforce that side. Like, they're going through over here.
I'm sure it was fantastic to watch. Not a good fantastic.
Yeah.
Like, unbelievable.
Really interesting. Yeah.
It was,
I'm glad I was there.
It was a surreal moment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
I said it was on my couch, tears came down my eyes, but I couldn't believe what I saw.
Because I didn't see someone get arrested. I didn't see anybody punch a cop. I didn't see anybody, a cop, punch a person.
I want
an answer.
What did she do? Did she
She was breaking through a window, but I'm.
But in every other barrier, when people started to break through the barrier, they just got out of the way and let them go.
Yep.
Why, in that one case, with that one person who never showed his face, or never showed it on camera?
Also, there was a lot of people behind her. How reckless is it to shoot?
Yeah, and I would hope
it was a
piece. She was hot.
So, any thoughts on that?
It was kind of muffled, so I didn't hear exactly what was the major contention there.
Well, okay, so two things. He said he mentioned Mitch McConnell was in on it, and mm-hmm. And he said that it was he wanted to know why the woman was
Babbitt.
Shot.
Ashley Babbitt.
Ashley Babbitt. Yeah, he wanted to know why Ashley Babbitt was shot. And you know what? I'll be honest with you. I don't even, looking at that video, I question. I'm not trying to be
everything about it.
Yeah, everything about it. It's like that doesn't make any sense. Because I mean, not that I've ever seen somebody get shot, but the whole thing just didn't look right.
Well, she got shot in supposedly in the throat or something, which you would fucking...
You'd be dead immediately.
Be like, yeah. You would be like...
There would be blood everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there was no blood.
And the guys standing on the steps, all those SWAT guys, nobody's moving. Nobody's clearing the room out, what you would do. Just please, everybody, get the hell out of here now and push them out. Nobody did that. They were giving hand signals to people through that barricade, through the windows. And then they were just standing there like, duh, as if they were expecting it. And for all we know, that woman wasn't even shot. She fell back on a backpack and blood drained out. So we don't even know if that's real.
Yeah, I think the whole J6 stuff was total theater.
Absolutely, from beginning to end.
Mm-hmm. It depends on who the actors were, whatever. I'm not even going to argue that, but it was total theater. So,
well, you know, that was the event that they used to, you know, keep everything going for the 4 years.
Worse than 9/11.
Yeah, exactly.
If you ask Adam Schiff or any of these ones that are done for.
And it was, and when it was, it's theater, it was also, I mean, it was used against, it was used on, this is the way I feel about everything is at this point is you take an incident, even if it's a false flag, and it's going to be used by both sides. That's the way I feel. And then the question is like, who's doing what at this point? And,
it's how they're used.
So it makes no sense that that there was an approval for all the security to be there and they weren't, and then there were definitely people there that were instigators, and so if I was like a white hat, I would almost let an operation go.
Well, definitely the FBI was or rogue elements of the FBI were involved in that. And speaking of FBI, I find this rather interesting.
See how many have quit?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let me see here.
Well, did I tell you earlier, Ron, that friend of mine, how many years after, 5 months ago? When they arrested him in Ohio.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And what he saw that, he was miles from the Capitol with elderly ladies from a church group. He was... When they heard what was going on, they went the other way and said, let's go get something to eat and get out of here. On the way out, he sees a Penske type truck, and there are two guys handing out nasty things and giving instructions. Well, you know, you're told, see something, say something. Well, it's a two-edged sword, because the very next day he did contact the FBI and explain exactly what he saw. And for... up until 5 months ago, they'd have friendly question sessions with him now and then. And I basically told them, don't deal with them that way. Do it all on paper from now on, registered mail. That way there is no confusion.
Yeah.
But, you know, it went the way it went. He didn't think he was in any trouble. And they arrest him and threw a stack of charges against him because he saw their people, the COINTELPRO guys, doing... what no one was supposed to identify and see. So they were coming after him to shut him up all this time later, just prior to the election. Well, they told him, you won't see a judge for 6 months. Well, we took care of that. 24 hours, he was on a plane back to his home state. But that's how pathetic they were getting. And they're wanting him to plead guilty to... Yeah. Walking on the grass, and they just want to get a guilty.
Yep.
And at this point, my advice to him is no, don't even accept that. They're not going to reverse it, and they're not going to go after him because there's a new sheriff in town, and you know they can stick it up their ass.
Speaking of the new sheriff in town, did you see the? I put the link up on screen where the FBI is painting over the core values, so to speak, to comply with the administration's DEI rollback. So they're completely eliminating DEI from the federal government, which is an absolutely beautiful thing.
Common sense, and it should have never happened, but obviously there's reasons why it was done, and it had to stir people up more, and it did, to the point to where it got its intended results, its own destruction.
Yeah, yeah. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing.
First of all, I've got to tell you that having worked in the government, with the government, because I was not a government employee, but without DEI hadn't hit quite yet in full force when I was there. But I used to say, it's like, I wouldn't, you get 5 cents on, or 5 cents on the dollar worth of anything in the government from what I could see. And it was bad enough then throw on the DEI stuff on top of it. And now you just got more shit on shit. So it probably made it down to 1% by that time. You know, I have to tell you, I had a conversation with somebody pinged me today, from my old DC time. And, I asked how things were going. I said, well, that's interesting watching what's going on. And I said, you know, watching the tariffs and the new administration. And he's like, oh, so what's your assessment? And I said, this is my assessment. Property in DC, in the DC area is going to be not worth much anymore. The property values are going to go down, you know, because 95% of the people that have worked there and sucked off the government tit don't have jobs anymore. They won't. And it's been
good.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you did see, I think Trump, Trump offered, we did a hiring freeze. He did a foreign aid freeze. He, he's offering he fired anybody in the DOJ and I think FBI is coming. Anybody who was involved in,
he already did the FBI. It's like anybody who was involved in the, in any of, the investigations, I think
of J6ers.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he fired anybody in the DOJ. On the lawyer side, or on the prosecutorial side, who was involved in investigating him. So, I mean, you know, it's funny, you know, the left, when I say the left, I'm not talking about just Democrats. I'm talking about Democrats and Republicans. Because you have to understand that the neoconservatives are just as communistic as the Democrats. Yeah. They just have a different philosophy in how communism should be implemented. You know, most the Marxists, Leninists are one, and then the other ones are much more of like a Trotsky style, and so they're all evil. And that's, you know, that's why, you know, everybody who complained in 2017, it's like, well, Trump just got in there. Why can't he just go ahead and clean up the government? You know, he's the chief executive. It's like, you don't understand how thick the spider webs are. That's like saying, that's like throwing somebody a beach ball sized a ball of yarn and say, hey, untangle this in 5 minutes. You know, it's not possible.
It's going to take, I've explained on other broadcasts, it's going to take months to get the people out you want out, get the people in you want in, acclimated, even people, new personnel that need training. You just can't go, okay, yeah, the cartels are a terrorist organization, go get them. There's too much of a mess to clean up in the ranks in the military. And even in special ops, there has to be a little bit of cleaning up. So you have a lot, every area you can think. There are so many holes in this dike that have to be filled. Then you can move on. And that's exactly what he's doing, is taking care of that right now and hit the ground running, doing it.
I agree wholeheartedly. In fact, I would say there's certainly a different tenor to what's happening in this administration, the 47 administration versus the 45 administration. The 45 administration, you know, everybody was hopeful, and there were a lot of good things that were being done, but you know, that was in the, it's like putting together a 1,000-piece puzzle, and he had maybe, you know, he just opened the box and was putting things together, you know.
Even if he had been better equipped, if certain things that people have been expecting were not going to happen in that first 4 years,
1,000%. And you know
that,
what?
Second four was more controlled than you think, and it was for your learning pleasure.
100%.
You know, it reminds me of when JFK fired Alan Dulles. He fired Alan Dulles, and then he fired Lemnitzer. Lemnitzer brought him the plans for Operation Northwoods, and he said, "Are you out of your fucking mind?" And then he allegedly demotes Lemnitzer to go be the head general for NATO, which was probably the
telltale sign right there, right?
Well, I mean, that was the worst thing he could have done. That was the worst thing he could have done, because he put him into a position that was even more sinister than the Joint Chiefs. So, but then when he fired Alan Dulles, I mean, there's multiple reports about how Alan Dulles, even though he was fired as CIA head, that people, the bureaucratic resistance to Kennedy's, you know, policy implementations was extraordinarily palpable. They would, and people in the intel community still went to Dulles's house to brief him on things that were going on. So it's like, you know, you were just, and that was going on in the first Trump administration, all throughout. So that's kind of why I tend to believe that I don't believe that Trump was commander in chief during the Biden administration, but I do believe that the Biden administration was semi-controlled by good guys for the purposes of keeping the good guys in the background.
And things get miserable for the population, so they would be forced. Unfortunately, humanity learns more so by pain and pressure and lack, or the fear of, than they do by saying, you know, what can I improve today? And then take the impetus and get off their ass and do it, whether it's local or what have you. And then you saw when you had things that were greatly offensive to parents. If I had a child in early grade school and, you know, they had transvestites reading to them, I would have been the first down there going, what the hell is this? Of course, and then, you know, adding things like you being put on a list because you actually care about the fact that the government is behind this. And, you know, that's the last thing that should have anything to do with any of that. It just forced people to start to take action, whether it was their passion was voting or whether their passion was straightening up the schools or, you know, any number of things that people talk about extensively. But there's also a huge change in the attitude of the population.
Right. And
the wackadoodles, the far out left, know their day is done because, number one, they're incredibly small in number. Number two, they were given an inordinate amount of coverage by the propaganda arm of the cabal, the deep state, of the globalists. Mainstream media, and okay, look what happened to their propaganda arm. CNN might as well pay people to watch them at this point, and MSNBC, and you know.
Well, you've got way too many people that aren't even paying attention to the likes of MSNBC and CNN. I mean, they're downsizing their crews now. I mean, nobody's watching them. You do have some people watching them, but the vast majority of people, they're not tuning into MSNBC or CNN for their news anymore. Just the really hardcore leftists are. But outside of that, I mean, shoot, you get guys like Rogan or, some of these big podcasters on
David. Ryan.
Yeah, I mean they're getting way more views than CNN or MSNBC combined.
Yeah.
And they're talking about things that are way more relevant and important to people. And
look how the White House and even as far as Secretary of Defense. They're saying to a lot of the mainstream media, no, you can't have a press pass. We're going to be giving it to these guys who are in that large cadre of good independent reporters. You're going to see O'Keefe in there more. You're going to see probably people like
I heard Alex Jones actually got a pass.
Did he really?
An invite to dinner. He also got an invite to dinner with the president.
So I think.
Yeah, because they know their message is going to get out and get out clearly through these people.
So I don't know. But I think Breitbart and Axios got passes in. I think NBC, CBS, it's like they got put to the back. So it's going to be really interesting. The one thing I'll have to say is I think that there's a lot of people, obviously not, I think they're not listening to mainstream media anymore, but I think people are also just dropping out and not paying attention too much because it's just the level of confusion, and so they're not seeking out truth. So I think there are some people that have just dropped out.
I agree.
I
fall into that category for the last probably several weeks. I've just checked out. It's like I was. It's like, man, I'm overwhelmed and fatigued with all the stuff, and it's like, you know, let me just take a break and, you know, kind of recharge my batteries. It's almost like, you know, taking a nap.
Well, you know? And the thing is, we, you know, people like us, people that are in this space of like wanting to know what the hell's going on and trying to understand the environment we're in, this is not a nice thing to say, but it's truth. There are people that don't really want to pursue that. They just, and this is why it became easy to control a lot of humanity, is because they just want to go about their day and have
they want to be left alone.
Exactly. But they don't understand. Here's the problem is Because I can tell you, I used to be one of those people that I didn't vote. I didn't care about politics until I moved to D.C. and got on the inside of it. And then I had a great awakening and understand how much more it impacts your life. But most people don't find that connection. They don't understand that there's a system that they're operating in. That they are part of a system and
I agree with you 1000% right there. The compartmentalization of government has made it so that the powers that be can pull strings. And while somebody is doing something that they believe is good, they're actually part of something that's a lot more nefarious. And they don't realize it because they think they're doing something that's honorable.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. That is so, so true. So true.
Yeah. It's like, I mean, the thing that would just baffle the hell out of me is how the FBI could put out a document saying that if you had a Betsy Ross flag or a Gadsden flag, that you were somehow anti-government and people would buy into it. Or if you questioned the Federal Reserve, you were considered a domestic terrorist. It's like, what?
Oh, well, I put on my list, the FBI, for those, 14th Amendment useless jurisdictions who are against the American people. They're first on my list as bad boys. Not that my list means anything. I'm kind of a half-assed joke there, but
right.
You know.
Well, I tell you one thing, you're on their list. We are all on their list.
Well, here, I'm going to say something, and I hope not to offend anyone on the call, but they can kiss my salty balls, okay? Put me on all the lists you want. I'm not a criminal, and I'm not breaking your laws, and if you have a problem with that, you can kiss my ruby red ass.
Right.
Simple as that. So I don't think twice about it, even though they tried to set me up a month ago. We'll leave that alone.
Yeah, it's... You know, they, well, I say this, if you're not on a list, you're doing something wrong. So, people who are on a list are the true patriots, to the country. And, you know, it's interesting because, you know, they classify people like us as anarchists or anti-government, and we're not anti-government, we're just anti-corruption. We want there to be you have to understand that you cannot have true freedom without some sort of a governmental structure, but what you need is you need the most minimum amount of government there to protect your property. To come in and stand in for you to protect the law. So it's not a matter of, you know, the more government, the more freedoms you have, the more government, the less freedoms you have. And we're witnessing that right now. You know, I mean, it's, you know, I always say, and this is a truism, a license is a mechanism that is used by government to convert a right into a privilege.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, do you think people in the 1700s, did people need to get a business license, or did they just have an idea and just, you know, and do whatever they needed to do to engage in commerce?
Yeah.
If you tried that, they would have said, can you outrun my hatchet?
Yeah, right.
Exactly. You know?
Exactly.
But here we are.
You know, talk about how Trump ended all the foreign aid, and then you had the Doge Department come in. I'm going to play this quick clip from Scott Adams, I think is his name. Not that I'm a huge Scott Adams guy, but this was kind of telling to me.
Here's the interesting one. So apparently the highest ranking person in the Treasury, David Labrick, he resigned rather than comply with DOGE for access to audit where they spent trillions of dollars a year. Trillions of dollars go through the system. And as soon as DOGE said, can we see what's in there, see where the money went, the person in charge quit. Now, I don't know how that could be more damning. The only thing that would be more damning is if they've already left the country to a country with no extradition. But let me tell you a universal truth. One of the things we learned in this story, allegedly, is that there was never any audit to money requests that went through the Treasury. They simply said yes to everything. Now, I hope that's not literally true, but it's being reported that they didn't even have the function to check. There was nobody whose job it was to even check. They just said yes. And some of that would include maybe some requests that you wouldn't want them to pay.
So that I found that very interesting that the dude quit. Now, and you know, he makes the point about going someplace to, you know, a country without extradition. Well, I'll tell you this, and I'm sure Ghost can back me up on this, that if you're engaged in that type of behavior, there is no place on this planet where you can go and hide.
No, there isn't. You can bury yourself under the ice in Antarctica. They'll find you.
Yeah, you will, and justice is justice is something that a lot of times happens behind the scenes. In fact, let me. This was a very interesting post that I saw on. Let me see here. Let me share this.
Well, while you're looking, I just want to say this is all about putting, you know how when you turn the lights on and the roaches scurry? I used to live in South Carolina. And it's like, oh, my God, you didn't. And then you could hear them like running away. This is exactly what's happening. You shine the light on it. And this is where people self-deport. Quit their jobs. All they want to do is hide from the light.
Right.
And this is the difference between the first Trump administration and this one, because he came out with the fucking headlights or the overhead, where you're like, just, he's like shining in the last 2-3 weeks. He's just putting the spotlight out, and the roaches are just starting to run.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so it's, I have to say that for me, it's extremely exciting, because you can now, it's like you can hear those little roach feet going.
This was a post on that Mel Kay put out. And I said, this should be the most talked about person on the planet right now, especially with the light finally shining, as you just so accurately said, on the NED, or the National Endowment for Democracy, and follow her journey. And, you know, she was former Undersecretary of State for Political Affairs. And she was the one who was behind Ukraine. And speaking of Ukraine, I'm going to play this little quick clip from this is a little bit older, but I found it it's very interesting.
You know, the thing that people don't in this country understand is that the Ukrainian military is selling about half of the arms they get from the United States into international black markets. And they're winding up, in some cases, with the drug cartels in Latin America. That's a fact. Okay. It's a fact. And you can buy them And I spoke to someone who did buy some, actually, so I know this is a fact, and they're bragging about it. So they're selling conventional weapons, including weapon systems that are very dangerous and very destabilizing that would make commercial air travel impossible, for example. And so what are they doing with the pathogens in those biolabs? And does the Biden administration have a manifest? Do they know exactly what's in those labs? And will they turn it over to the Trump administration so we can keep track of these things? And the answer is no, actually. The answer is no, I know this.
Wow.
So that's like the scariest thing that's ever happened. I think the Ukraine war has the potential to destabilize the world more than anything that's happened in my lifetime. What the hell? So that's why I'm saying this right now, because I hope this is widely disseminated, because I think it's like the scariest thing I've heard in a long, long time. Mm.
So anyway, that's just Ghost, I want your thoughts on that, because I know we talked earlier about just kind of things maybe going off the rails at a specific time. You know, obviously I'm not going to make any predictions. But I feel like, you know, in my personal opinion, things are happening way too smoothly right now, for the good.
Smoothly? Oh, really?
Well, I mean, what I mean by that is there's not enough, there's no pushback right now from, there's not as much pushback right now from the called the deep state as
I think they're in fear of a tipping point of exposing their hand too much to some extent. Sorry, it's my dog. Because once it gets exposed too much, then it's going to become very obvious that the truth comes out. And I just want to make another comment while I have it on my head. In my head is I want to go back and tie this to what like Tucker was talking about, the exposure of the sending all of these arms over to Ukraine and it getting laundered back in and then coming back into like Mexico. But you know, the agreement that Sheinbaum and Trump made today, and I think this is beautiful, is that and I think this is just an exposure program, is that she agreed to put troops constantly on 10,000, always maintaining, dedicated to the border.
Oh, you're talking about Mexico.
Yes, but I'm just talking about the exposure of the system, okay? And so one of the things Trump agreed to, she said, then stop shipping weapons to Mexico. So the whole point I'm saying is we know that this whole system has been, you can't just say you can't isolate one country and make it bad and all. You have to look at the grander systems, the flows that happen. So, you know, so you ship assets to Ukraine, military assets, right? And then they get laundered and then they go back into the illegal systems and then that goes into drug cartels and then it goes into the black market that feeds the monetary system that is now all dark money. And I thought it was interesting that the agreement between Sheinbaum and Trump was that we'll stop shipping fentanyl in, which we know that the CIA is involved in drug. It's one of the biggest traffickers in the world. And the fact that he agreed, yes, we will stop the shipping or we will ensure that we're not going to be enabling the cartels through getting weapons to Mexico. And it kind of, to me, demonstrates that bilateral, they have an agreement for the right reasons. And it's exposing the system is what I'm trying to say, which is to me really a positive thing about you can take this, what appeared to be just a tariff issue or a migration issue, and you can expose both sides of the coin to some extent. That's what Tucker's it was pointing out, is we only get told in one side of the equation, but there's a much deeper thing that happens. And so when you expose the system, that's what people need to understand. I'm going to get off my horse on this one, but
because you know we're talking about, you know, potential for chaos, and I think, you know, a lot of people are concerned about potential biological hazards. Call it 10 days of darkness type situations, which I don't know how that will manifest, but I do believe that a lot of the I'll call it tools, for lack of a better word, a lot of the tools that will be utilized for creating chaos, I feel are coming or will come from that region, from Ukraine.
Unfortunately, yeah, but you had things like, before that war even began, from information I had and some things I was working on, it was, we know that, let's say the most important small arms that were needed at the fronts during midnight convoys headed that way, those things were being diverted. But we knew before the war that in the end he's going to get that territory, so he has a wide open swath to Crimea. Those people ethnically and culturally want to be back in Russia. They know what a mess was going on in Ukraine. It was a special military action, still is, by Russia. It's not a war. Even though millions have died, people had better get used to that, because many more innocent people are going to die in this country before this is all over. And I'll get to that point you were referring to. But we, you know, a lot of it wound up in places like northern Nigeria. Why? Because there were Chinese who want to destabilize our relations with Nigeria, Uganda, Zimbabwe, a number of other countries, through tribal aspects and starting trouble, so we don't get the mining concessions, and they go ahead and build a road that nobody needs, but they say, see, we built a road. They're playing confessions of an economic hitman right now. Russia to a degree, China to a large degree. And the bottom line is most of these nations in Africa would rather do business with us any day of the week, as long as we don't fuck them over like we have in the past. And they don't want Chinese. They'll give Chinese a little taste here, let them wet their beaks here, let the Russians wet their beaks, but they don't want them influencing them culturally, politically, undermining people, doing the things that we normally did. If you think it's going to be business as usual with CIA, think again.
Yeah, amen.
We're going to see things handled differently in these countries, with the aid of that agency, of course, but differently, because their allegiance to what their masters were, as opposed to who they're supposed to serve, that's changing as we speak. And that will continue to change. You're going to see a lot of people in the top 35% tier agency probably gone in the next few months. If not, it's already begun.
Let me ask now, you.
We're leading up to, in this country, remember plugging the dike, holes in the dike?
Yep.
And this is some now several I've talked to. We could see a 10 days of darkness type situation as early as April, May time frame, because it has to happen. It's the only way it's going to get solidified in this country. You're going to have to scare the shit out of people. They're going to be running to get toilet paper when they should be worried about food and water. And by then it's too late. And we are going to have a number of cities that these insurgents that are in this country are going to light up. And to what degree, don't know. But just know that innocent people are going to die.
It's going to make Los Angeles look like nothing.
Look like a bunch of fires.
Mm, right. Yeah, it's...
But this is coming. It had to be... There were those who thought it would take a lot less time, like 18 months or 2 years, back in 17, 18, 19. That was under false assumptions. And there were many of us doubting if that would be the case. And at the same time, you do want to give those false assumptions validity for them to be consumed, because the opposition's consuming them also. And their moles are only going so far. And so we're actually looking at that kind of stuff coming on sooner than later. And you can just look at a lot of what's going down in Guantanamo Bay. Yeah, we've got to get how many out of this country who are gang members, people who were let out of... criminally insane, let out of institutions in Venezuela, for example.
Right.
And then just pumped right on up here and across the border. And there's 110 NGOs, where 109 of them are Christian. And this has nothing to do with anti-Semitism, because anybody who knows me knows better. Anybody who thinks otherwise is a fucking moron. But who was receiving the 69 billion grants and the 40 billion grants to disperse to those other 109 NGOs that were all bringing people across the border? It was a Jewish-based one.
Mm-hmm.
So all of that needs to be looked into with a fine-tooth comb, in addition to everything else. These people need to be exposed, and I'm sorry, most of them are guilty of aiding and abetting the enemy and treason.
Well, it's interesting that you bring up Israel. I have a couple things here that I'd like to
bring up. Israel. I brought up stateside NGO that happens
to be. No. Well, okay. But you're
going to find them in there for sure.
I mean the NGOs, and a lot of that money is being funneled, and I believe it's being funneled through Israel into the hands of terrorists, because that's what is. If anybody ever does some really deep diving research, you will find that almost all of the money that goes into a lot of these NGOs is funneled through Israel into terror organizations throughout the world. That is one of. I'm talking about the Israeli government.
Well, it's why Scott Bennett went to jail, because he did his job too well in doing just that.
Yeah. I'm not talking about Jews. I'm talking about the nation state of Israel. And in fact, here let me play this real quick. This is a short video.
Some of our so-called allies that we work with and we protect them militarily, they're sending massive amounts of money to ISIS and to Al-Qaeda.
So who are you talking about there?
You know who it is. What do I have to bring it up for? You know who it is.
Because you're running for president. Are you talking about the Saudis?
Joe, other countries are giving massive amounts of money. People from other countries are giving massive amounts of money.
Are you saying the Saudis are doing this?
Of course they're doing it. Everybody knows that.
Okay, any other countries?
There are, but I'm not going to say it because I have a lot of relationships with people. But there are. And you know that. And everybody knows that. And nobody says it. Nobody.
We'll be right back.
So that's just, I mean, that obviously that went by pretty quick, but it's, you know, I mean, the
it's making the point,
making a point. And, you know, and I agree with that point, you know, and again, that's not an indictment against every single human being that, that's over there, but the government itself, you know, they are filthy, dirty. In my humble
they're
opinion.
They're to be treated like no different than any other government we deal with, whether it's England, Germany, who people ordinarily think, well, yeah, we have the best interests of each in mind. Wrong. Wrong. There's another layer where Germany does not have our best interests in mind. They've got theirs. Same with Israel.
Yeah.
No different. And Israel should be treated no differently with regard to that. I don't care if you chose to surround yourself with people who want to kill you. That really sucks, but that's your problem. We have our own problems. We'll take care of those first before we really need to think about helping what you create to bring us into. If you create problems with Iran and a war with Iran, good luck with that, because you're not getting my son and you're not getting 90% of the sons and daughters of this country to come over there and fight that shit.
No, and but they have
in such a way that that's going to work. It's not. Russia won't give it to you. And if they don't give it to you along with us, you don't get it.
Well, if
anybody out there in ADL or anything else is saying anti-Semitism, fuck you. And fuck your anti-Semitism tool, propagandist tool that works so well for you in engineering the thoughts and movements and minds of so many in the religious community who are like, yeah, Israel is allowed to shit down my throat and I'm going to ask for seconds. What are you, mad? Yeah. Are you fucking insane? Well, you keep thinking that way because you're going to find yourself more and more alone.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to hear this. Oh, we share this. No, we don't. No, we don't. God is in your heart. The kingdom is within you. It's not somewhere else. It's not some magical fairyland. It's not some horrible desert land. Maybe that's where a lot of wonderful history took place, but that was thousands of years ago. I'm concerned Amen. With today, and you don't fit into the solution today, Israel, as long as you keep doing this shit. And well, that's common sense, and people are seeing it finally. Thank God.
You know, JFK tried to rein that shit in a long time ago, and you know, I mean, a lot of people don't give. I don't want to say credence, but you know, they think, oh well, the CIA and the military or the mob, you know, they all had it in for JFK, and that they're you know what, they're not wrong. JFK made a shit ton of enemies, but the one enemy that he made probably worst of all was Israel, because he was trying to get them to stop nuclear testing. He literally had gotten everybody on board with no more nuclear tests except Israel. Israel wouldn't comply. And
then he's killed, and another 1,000 took place before the treaty that Nixon put in place.
Right,
it was ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. I wanted to ask you, Ghost.
1,000 globally between all the nuclear nations, rather.
Right.
Qualify that.
I wanted to ask your opinion on this, and if this, who is going to police the CIA if they start to go rogue? Who's going to be the policing force that goes in and reins these people in?
I would think ODNI. I would think their own, Radcliffe. The problem is, if they start going rogue, you've got to then replace the leadership immediately, and you've got to find out what's going on, why is it going rogue, and who's doing it. Certain shadow operations are necessary. A lot of them haven't been. A lot of them, they've been working for the globalists, and sorry to tell you, if you're still working in those things, you're working for the wrong masters. You're not working for the American people. You're working against us. And again, you got to look at the age, the mindset, the lack of historical knowledge in their minds. You've got, I don't give a damn how good they are at their operational job, or whether they're, you know, a case officer in a cubicle all day long handling things. If you don't possess the requisite information and be on a constant path of learning yourself, then you're just another cog in that machine that I think is going to do a good job in the future. And in the not too distant future, a retooled job. And I think we need to re-examine Five Eyes, 9, 14, all of it. Re-examine Amen. All of it.
Absolutely.
And, you know, let's carry on from here. And yes, those who committed gross crimes that were of a totalitarian servant nature, like a Brennan, they need to be brought to task, just like anyone else. Just like anybody in FEMA.
Speaking of Brennan, I thought it was poetic justice when Trump, was it Trump? That said that Brennan was not allowed in any federal building at all. Did Trump do that?
It was him and a number of other people. Yeah.
Yeah. He's like, yep, they've lost their security. They no longer had their security clearance.
Yeah. Yeah. They stripped them of clearances and you're done. In other words, you're done. Go fishing. And
he's not going to be going fishing.
Well, yeah, I'm just saying that go fishing, but the other side of that,
he's going to be fish food
and you're dealt with.
Exactly. He's going to be fish food.
No, that's just the first shot over the bow with that asshole, you know?
Yeah.
And the one thing though, I have to say that is how all these operations have been able to be done is through the whole compartmentalization thing. And that is, you know, if you're an operative, you think you're doing, I'm going to say,
honorable
work. Come on.
Honorable, patriotic work. Yes, you do.
You know, and you have no, and it's in that compartmentalization and, you know, this is also, you took an oath to do something to protect. And in reality, you're being tasked to do something that's in direct opposition to that oath. And it's through the compartmentalization and, you know, so this is where the how do you create a system where you need to have people go out and do work that is clandestine but righteous? And I think that the clandestine has certainly been mostly used for not righteous. So that's a challenge. You know what, at this point, I'd rather err on, which way would you rather err on at this point? Open, which gets back to the whole secret society. We do not trust things not being open and honest.
Right.
Because if you, it gets back to that dark, things that can operate in the dark. If we're all operating in light and truth, then we all get judged by, and we're all staying above the line, right? And So the question is, how do we create a society or systems and organizations where the light is where we are all supposed to operate, which is what I would argue is what our Constitution was based on, is that we are all supposed to adhere to a value system that says we are supposed to we all have God-given, human inherently rights as souls. And then when you start to cloak that into, cloak it into something else, then you're using that positive message against truth. You know
Agreed.
What I'm saying?
So yeah, here's an example.
Fine.
Well, go ahead. Yeah. I'm sorry.
No, I'm just saying that get coming out of the shadows is what needs to happen, 100%, and all of it.
Yeah, necessary shadows that are working against us. But here's something that was never reported in the cabals. I mean, the New York Times or anything. And, Pompeo was made as interim head of CIA in the beginning of Trump's first term. Now, his job was to go in there and axe 35% of the top brass. And he was trusted to do that. Well, I know at a miserably. Private dinner with someone who is now taking a whole lot of shit from these shit types like Adam Schitt. Just to be over HHS, admitted to him, he, I think, was ashamed because he didn't do it. And that was a knife in the back of President Trump, if you ask me, my personal opinion on the matter. That was a knife in his back. Why the fuck did I put you there and you didn't do it? Okay, and then at the same time, I receive these texts, and they come from they're soliciting during the time of the campaign, and then Pompeo comes up and it's all this Christian, my belief in God. You know what, Pompeo, stop wearing that shit on your sleeves because they're using your name to write that shit to con people. Don't you dare insult my belief in Christ with that kind of shit to get the RNC, not Trump, but the RNC, $35 minimum. This is what pisses me off. So right. I don't know why this guy's still around other than they're going to use him for some things. And, he's either had a talking to and came to the light rather quickly, which if he did, great. Then I have nothing bad to say about him from that point on. But I don't know that to be a fact yet. And after hearing all of that, I didn't. Many, many, many years ago, I was like, can't trust him. Any Secretary of State, very powerful position. Well, okay,
probably the most
happens.
Powerful position besides the president is the Secretary of State.
Yeah, it is by law on the books. So yep.
Secretary of State, I think, is fourth in line.
Uh-huh.
Of succession.
And aside from that, has more sweeping powers than most would readily think. So, it's okay. Your performance and lack thereof is what has garnered an opinion like that from me. And who the hell am I? But a lot of other people share it too. So, unless you're playing a double deeper role, which is highly possible, I'm not going to say it isn't. As what it appears over the last years, that's my opinion. Until shown otherwise with evidence, I'll change it in a heartbeat. Until then, it's another example of how he was kept in the dark, stabbed in the back, especially by the intel communities. That's why I'm glad Gabbard hopefully gets ODNI and she gets things in order.
Well, Hegseth is, you know, Hegseth was, I heard Hegseth come out and he said he's that no more, there's not going to be any more Black History Month or Asian History Month or this History Month or Indian History Month. It's all it's going to be is just the 4th of July, because we're going to celebrate is being American. We're not going to celebrate individual entities. Because that's if you words mean things, and if you go back,
we're supposed to be all American,
right? So, but remember, you know, we're old enough. You know, we three are old enough to remember the 80s. And what did we call Black people in the 80s? We called them Black people. When did the term "American" come into being? It came in the early
90s. Probably when all the other crap came in.
It came in the early to mid 90s, and that was under the Clinton administration. And you know, because I remember back then, I think it was somebody asked Tiger Woods, you know, about him being an African American, and he says, "I'm not an African American. I'm an American." And, you know, I that always stuck with me, but, you know, that whole bullshit, that was all the origins of really pushing the whole DEI. And, but it just wasn't called DEI. It was, you know, called cultural Marxism or political correctness or, you know, PC, you know, or whatever you want to call it. But that was, you know, that was when they really started to ramp up the, you know, that bullshit about you know, controlling speech. So but speaking of Hegseth, this was just shared with me. I want to share it with you guys.
Can you hold that thought for a second? There's a question here, and I'd like this individual to expound upon this. Why is Trump pushing the anti-Semitism crap? Is it just a cover? What anti-Semitism crap is he pushing? Being against, say, or not on board with Israel's policies does not make you an anti-Semite. I'm just going to leave that part of it right there. What? Please explain that, because that's a dangerous and ridiculous statement to make. And I'm not coming down on you personally, but he's not pushing the anti-Semitism crap. He's calling it like it is.
Right. I think there's something going around out
there. If you happen to be Jewish and you take offense to it, oh well, too bad. Everybody in this country takes offense to something.
Right. Well,
I think they're referring to the executive order.
Yeah.
But go look at the executive order. It raises questions.
I will, in fact, but let me just, because I have this on the screen, let me just show it real quick, and then we'll go back to that real quick. But I just got this sent to me. It said, breaking: U.S. Air Force intelligence aircraft have entered Mexican airspace after Mexico agreed to cooperate in fighting the cartels. This is practically unheard of. Pete Hegseth sent a warning to the cartel saying all options are on the table. Trump demanded 100% operational control of the border, and Hegseth is delivering. And it's showing, I don't know when this was dated, but this is the, this aircraft is doing donuts around Baja California, which is right where the Sinaloa cartel is. So anyway, I just thought that was very interesting.
That is very interesting. The thing is, the Mexican, we know that the Mexican government is very much entwined with the cartels, but the problem is that it's very hard to extricate from it if you do not have the capabilities. And I can tell you that the Mexican people would love to not have the cartel in their world at all. They don't. And so if there could be a way to enable the cleansing with the capabilities that the States has, I know that it would be extremely welcomed. And this is why I think this is happening for a reason. And it's actually a good thing.
This is I think
shit my face.
I'm sorry, guys. Sorry, that was a mistake.
That's okay.
I'm
glad I have my clothes on.
I'm so sorry. That was not supposed to happen.
Okay.
All right. So this was.
It looked like you were taking your clothes off. What's going on there, Shelly?
Hey, I live in Mexico. I don't have to wear many clothes.
This is what I think was talking about here. I'll just read this. By authority vested in me as president of the Constitution and the laws of the United States of America, I hereby order. My administration has fought and will continue to fight anti-Semitism in the United States and around the world. On December 11, 2019, I issued Executive Order 13899, my first executive order on combating anti-Semitism, finding that students in particular facing anti-Semitic harassment in schools and on university and college campuses. Executive Order 13899 provided interpretive assistance on the enforcement of the nation's civil rights laws to ensure that they would protect American Jews to the same extent to which all other American citizens are protected. The prior administration effectively nullified Executive Order 13899 by failing to give the terms of the order full force and effect throughout the government. This order reaffirms the Executive Order 13899 and directs additional measures to advance the policy thereof in wake of the Hamas terrorist attacks on October 7th of 2023. Against people of Israel. These attacks unleashed an unprecedented wave of vile anti-Semitism. The policy, it shall be the policy of the United States to combat anti-Semitism vigorously using all available and appropriate legal tools to prosecute, remove, or otherwise hold to account the perpetrators of unlawful anti-Semitic harassment and violence.
All right, well, Star-Lord, I apologize because I see what you're referring to now. It's just the wording of what you wrote at me. Assume something I shouldn't have. So, apology. I hope it's accepted. But I see what he's doing there. And that's not giving them any special treatments. Basically, from what I can read so far and what you've read, I see why he's doing that.
So, one of the takes on it is if you look at the specific wording or the cause of this wording, addressed the university issues. Mm-hmm. The thing is, the people that were doing this on the universities were like the Antifa. This was not that whole incident with the universities was not caused by people that were anti-Semitic. It was like Soros-backed Antifa that were there to cause different problems. So it had not.
Yeah.
It appeared one way, and that was when he was focusing on that particular issue, but it doesn't. Anybody looking at this on the outside wouldn't understand that he actually is trying to say everybody should have a First Amendment right to speak honestly. But having these groups come in that are using this label is not acceptable. That's the best way I can interpret that situation. And here's the other thing. He's still having to fight the underlying Zionist problem.
I agree. So. You know, and that's actually probably a pretty good segue to play this. This is a little bit longer, but it's and this is about 4 minutes long. But I think this will address the you know, I think, you know, again, Trump has to walk a fine line on the Israel Semitism, anti-Semitism issue, because so many people are in line with Israel because they believe that modern day Israel is the equivalent of biblical Israel. And that is something that has been perpetrated on primarily Americans for the better part of about 100 years. So
for money, for non-questioning.
Isn't that the Schofield Bible?
It goes back to the Schofield Reference Bible. Yes, absolutely. So, but, you know, a lot of people think that Trump is a Zionist and that he's doing all this stuff. And you know, so with that being said, I want to play this. And, you know, this is it's like I said, it's a little longer than 4 minutes, but I think it's worthwhile considering the topic. So anyway, that's I cut it off. It's an interesting video. I wish they would have just And I wish they would have just posted the clips instead of like made them all like jump around and stuff, because it's a little bit hard to follow. But the point of the matter is, the one thing that really stuck out to me in that was when Trump walked away from Netanyahu, and Netanyahu stood there like, what? He totally disrespected him. And I don't know if you guys have ever seen the article that came out where Trump called Netanyahu disloyal and basically said, fuck him. And that was actually,
when did he say that?
Was that in the interview with Ravid?
Let me see here. Let's see here. Trump.
Was that post 20 election?
One second here.
So while you're looking that up, I just want to bring in another piece of information that I found today off of Badlands, that so the Netanyahu, the date that he's coming to visit Trump, that's the day before Netanyahu was supposed to go to court for his corruption. So basically, it's like it was Trump summoning him to the United States so that he could somehow get out of that. So it's either you come talk to me, or you're going to go face charges up against your own.
That would not surprise me at all.
And then the second thing, is that Sarah, Netanyahu's wife, is also got charges filed against her for, gosh, I can't remember what it is, colluding charges. Anyway, she's also facing charges.
A lot of people forget that that prior to October the 7th, Israel was basically in a state of civil war. It was very nasty over there. But I found the article.
They're doing the same thing with their people that are being done here in England,
exactly,
throughout countries in Europe. And, exactly. And I can tell you, looking at the date of this, December 2021, I'm going to put you as a fly on the wall in a meeting of Netanyahu with his advisors. Now, how the hell would someone know this? But 4 days prior to the 20 election, he told them, we need to distance ourselves from Trump. And then continued on with some other choice things that I won't say, but you get the point. So instead of saying no, saying nothing, or, let's watch how the U.S. elections go, he said, we need to distance ourselves from Trump. Why would you say that if you were him? And that's why Trump, I guess, in this headline says, I imagine that word's fuck him.
Yes, that's exactly.
Trump rages at Netanyahu. Yeah, I'm just kidding. Trump rages at Netanyahu, claims he saved, which he did. We have saved them from destruction with backroom deals and shadow deals for forever. And they know that. And it's not the people. It's not even all of the government. It is certain factions in Israel that still serve Rothschild and central banking interests.
Right.
Again, it's very simple when you come back to the basis of the model.
Yeah.
So Netanyahu is a globalist.
Yeah.
No two ways about it. Yeah, Israel first. As long as Israel's at the front of the globalist venture, as far as he can position it. But it's not going to work out that way. With a population of 9 million, and you tell the world, come here if you thirst for technology. We're the technology center of the world. Well, with 9 million people, that is impossible unless you are stealing the technology.
Right.
And unless you have an extensive covert network in this country with all the tech companies, where we think of it, we create it out of thin air. We make something from nothing. China steals it. They steal it. Why do you think there's such a close relationship between them and China? Nobody ever talks about that. Go to Israel, see how many Chinese you see visiting there.
Right.
They're all over the place. So I would say to the people of Israel, watch out. You're smart enough to know you're being played. Go a little deeper. And yeah, if you think it's conspiratorial, again, Tucker made the statement, what's conspiratorial today is fact 6 months later.
Right.
Haven't you learned that by now? You can help yourselves there by comprehending this and accepting it for what it is.
So it's...
Let's take a little boys break, but I'll carry the phone with me.
It's interesting. So today, maybe we can get on to another interesting topic a little bit about him, some of his executive orders that he did. So I watched him doing this signing this afternoon of a couple of those executive orders. And
the Sovereign Wealth Fund?
Yeah, the Sovereign Wealth Fund.
Here, I'll play that real quick.
Next, this is an executive order. This charges your Secretary of the Treasury, Scott Bessent, and your Secretary of Commerce, Howard Lutnick, to begin a process that will hopefully result in the creation of an American sovereign wealth fund.
It's a very exciting event. We're going to have a sovereign wealth fund, which we've never had. We have a lot of things that create wealth, and you've seen that over the last 2 weeks. I think we've created more wealth. Other people have created de-wealth, the people, my predecessors. We're creating a lot of wealth. Scott, maybe you'd like to say something about it, and I'd ask also Howard to say something about it.
Anyway, that was him signing the Sovereign Wealth Fund thing.
Yeah. So before we get on to that, because I do have some things I think that are interesting, and it gets into cryptocurrency and the new financials. So, But sorry, my dog is
you're okay.
Having an opinion.
your dog has an opinion on sovereign wealth funds.
So one of the things somebody asked him from a journalist's, they asked him about Gaza, and the question was, and Israel, and are you, it has something to do with, are you going to allow Gaza to be occupied by Israel or whatever? Anyway, so one of the things Trump said is like, he's like, if you look at Israel, it's like this little tip. He's like, this little tip of this pen, and I look at the top of this desk, and Israel's got this little teeny space on it, and that's all they've got. Now, when I first heard him say that, I was like, oh, fuck, is he trying to convince people that there should be a greater Israel? Because I'm, like, not happy with that. Because, you know, he speaks to... things he says can be taken two different ways. There's one message that says, look at Israel. It's this little teeny thing. On one side, you could say this little teeny top of the pen, you know, the pencil, which is the eraser. And this is causing all the shit storm. That could be one way. And like, well, if we get rid of that, we get rid of a lot of the problems, right? That's one way of interpreting it. Or you could interpret it a second way, which is, well, maybe it needs to be the whole much bigger. I don't know which way it is meant to be interpreted, but if you think about it, if Israel wasn't operating there, how much de-conflict, how much less conflict would you have? Destabilization.
Well, I don't think you'd have nearly the amount of destabilization that you would have. I think the world would be a much more stable place.
Right. So to some extent, you could take it like, well, we should give them more territory, like the greater Israel plan. Are you kidding me? You think that's going to be a stabilizing? No, that whole area would never accept a greater Israel. You're only just going to piss off that Saudi, everybody that in that territory. So that's not a solution. Israel is not a solution.
I don't think that Greater Israel Project is going to occur.
So you see what I'm saying?
I do.
His messages are double meaning, and just like the whole, you have to be able to interpret what he says in two different ways.
So my feeling is that he is. A lot of people claim that Trump is working, you know, for the Zionist cause, and, you know, and the Zionist cause, which is essentially the New World Order cause, you know, for global control to usher in, the Talmudic Messiah to come in, and so that they can control the world, and you know, build the third temple and all this other stuff, and I feel as though, you know, how do you affect change in a system? You can't affect if that system is literally has its tentacles in every single aspect of life. You can't effect change in that system from outside that system. Mm-hmm. You have to do it from within. Mm-hmm. And therefore,
or you change the game completely.
Or you change the game
that's
completely.
That's how you truly win. Otherwise, you're going to play ping pong until you get things in a certain arrangement.
Yeah, I agree. I think Ron's talking about you use the tactic of infiltration.
I agree. Yeah. That's exactly. Yeah. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm gonna drop something on you. Back in 17, when the embassy was moved from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. The same team and legal framework that was put in place to do that following Christmas of 17 into 18 was also doing it for the rebuilding of the Temple of Solomon. Now, why? But people think it's going to be on the Dome of the Rock. No, it's not. That wasn't the actual location of the temple. It's by the Gihon Springs, which is south of that. But you have to ask yourself, why are they doing that? Why are they doing that? It can only be a part of a deception, because no, I don't believe any Messiah is coming back, whether it's Jesus or the Jewish Messiah, whoever that might be. No, I don't believe any of that is going to happen anytime soon. If it does, wonderful. But I think we have to stick with reality and what history has shown us. We don't even have enough proof other than fable and story that has been highly edited and highly censored regarding what happened 2,000 years ago. And I'm sorry if people get a little butthurt by this, but tell me that's not true, because anything else you're telling me is just because it's the story in your head that you've concocted to make sense. Because if I say the word tree, picture a pine tree, or picture a tree of any, for every mind on this planet, there is going to be over almost 8 billion different versions of a tree. Some of them may look so much alike you can't tell, but there's a difference. There are differences. And the same thing applies to when you are born into or succored to believe any kind of body of knowledge. You're going to be limited limited in your thinking. You'll be self-limiting because, well, no, that's not my version of who this is. That's not my version of how I believe. So let's all keep our feet on the ground and you know, start thinking about why are they going to do that? What bullshit game are they going to try to pull out? What technology have they stolen from us that's going to have gravitic manipulation craft, gravitic drive craft, that's going to tell a different story? We have to be aware that these things are not far off and fanciful. They are on the drawing boards to be done. We're not the only ones doing it. So I think the games that he's playing, the things he's putting out there, look at the model properly. Because again, it all comes down to the real God on this planet, and that's Mammon. If you follow that model with the supranational, private, sovereign layer, the banking, international banking, meaning the central banking system, they've got all of this at their disposal. The only thing that's now putting them in check is hard action. And for the public, who is way behind and will be caught up in the fullness of time, these kinds of things that he's putting out there. So we've got to be very careful in how we analyze them and for audiences such as this, so that they and everybody understands, look, you don't know what, none of us, me, you, anybody, we don't know all that we think we know when it comes to the more esoteric aspects of existence. We're getting there, believe me, because a lot of technological advances now that they're showing, like the drones that glow bright, you know, those were ours. But the only thing they haven't told you, and he's not going to tell you, and I fully agree and understand why he or this administration or any administration wouldn't tell you, is they don't want a mass panic. And what did the FBI, I'll just give you another little hint. What did the FBI just get done doing in New York? A nuclear event drill. So I know it went from one section of the world to another, one subject to another, but believe me, they're all tied together. They're all tied together. And now it's finally coming out of the equipment that can release molecular bonds and turn concrete to dust in an instant, or make a person disappear, walking along, gone, even an aircraft. Disappear. Okay, so all of this exists. Many years ago, when I was first convinced to come out and talk, I was saying there are things out there 30 to 4,000 years advanced at current development. Well, if you know the exponential curve of development these days, 4,000 years is awful. It's magic to your eyes if you were to see it and not know what you were looking at. Mm-hmm. There's a lot out there and a lot at play and a lot that has to be kept in check if we're going to survive all of this, let alone bring it to its rightful conclusion. And so my soapbox just broke again.
You're good. You know, I've heard it called a near-death experience of the country, and I do believe that that's a very good description of what I feel is coming. But I don't know. But it has to be some sort of a scare event to get people to wake the fuck up out of their slumber, because even though we have. I feel there's a lot of people that are waking up and that are waking up by the day, but you know, there's a level of awake. There's you know, there's different varying levels of being, you know, awake to the realities of the world. And, you know, you've got people who just are, you know, they're still stuck in their MSNBC, CNN, and those are like, I mean, those people are just fast asleep and they're brain dead. Then you've got the people who, you know, now they're watching Fox News or Newsmax or whatever, and they think that they're getting, you know, I'm hip with the times now. I'm getting like real information. This is, and they're almost as brain dead as the people who are watching MSNBC. They just don't realize all they're getting is a different, they're getting propaganda from a different side, but they're not really getting any truthful, real, hard hitting in your face information about what the realities of our world. And then you've got,
yeah,
then
it's you've actually got out there, but you got to decipher it, but they're not getting it yet. They will.
Exactly. They will. Well, you know, as I've said many times, you know, everybody is going to get the red pill. Everybody is going to get the red pill, but for some people it's going to be a suppository. So,
That was good.
You like that? You never heard me say that before?
I think I heard you say that a while back, but it just hit me again tonight. It's still funny.
It hit the funny bone.
Yeah. It's kind of like a fart. You know, farts are funny whether you think they are or not. Whether you're three or 300, they're funny. But, I mean, yeah, that's a funny one.
Yeah. Yeah. Everybody's going to get the red pill, but for some, it's, unfortunately, it's going to be a suppository, and it's not going to be a pleasant suppository. So, but you know, everybody will wake up at some point in time. It's either that, or they're no longer going to exist. Yeah. So, I don't know. Somebody is. Are you trying to say something, Ghost? Because I think the gremlins are.
Yeah, they are. They're affecting me. I said, is some of these suppositories going to be the size of a 155 millimeter shell? It's going to take that with some of them.
It really will. Well, you know, it's if you listen,
it's going to hurt a bit, but hold on.
If you listen to Yuri Bezmenov and what he talks about, is like, you know, it's like you can show people hard evidence. You can and literally you can take them and go put them in a prison and shut the door behind them and walk away, and they still won't believe it. They will refuse to believe that it's true, and you know that those people are the ones that are just the lost cause, and those are the ones that are, you know, I don't know if you guys saw the DNC chair event that went on the other day that was put on by MSNBC, where the crowd was raucous, and I mean it was an absolute shit show. And then the person that they elected to be the new DNC chair, it may as well have been a clone of Tim Walz, and ironically he was from Minnesota, this new DNC chair. And it's just, I mean, they literally are doubling down on the DEI crap. It's like they're not getting it, you know. And I'll tell you,
much money's coming in for that, for them to say no.
Well,
I think of it as theater. I don't even believe this shit anymore. It's so stupid, you can't even believe it.
Well, I think there's really? A big part of what you're saying is absolutely right. Yeah.
Well, I it's interesting to me because, you know, a lot of people, a lot California is in play right now. I believe California is in play in a very big way. And I think a lot of the internal things that are being done are being organized and to be redirected at California. You know, being out here, I've heard from many people who are in law enforcement, and they all say basically the same. They sing the same song. They say that the cartels run the government out here. And whether it be
and local, Arizona, big time,
whether it be local government, whether it be city government, whether it be county government, whether it be state government, the cartels are, I mean, by virtue of money and
those who walk them in were the Chinese. Make no mistake about it.
Oh, I don't doubt that at all. But my point is that if that comes out and these people are exposed for, taking money from the cartels, that is going to be the quickest way to have government turnover in California and in many places in the United States, because they will be, these people, I'm hearing rumors that what we're seeing is we're getting not the main names of people being kind of taken away with black bags at night, but the underlings, kind of like the worker bees of people who are kind of they're being taken in and turned against the major politicians, because they know they're the ones that are actually, the politicians don't get their hands dirty. They're like the they're like the owners, and they dictate work to their little worker bees. Well, the worker bees are the ones that know all the numbers, because they're the ones that actually do the work. And they're the ones that are being, turned, if you will, because it gets into kind of a little bit of a compartmentalization.
Exactly. Thing. That's exactly what I was going to say. It's back into that issue. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I think we're going to see, but it's going to be a rocky road to get there. I mean, there's going to be a lot of birth pangs to get through to this other side to relieve ourselves of this shit show that has that's befallen on us, and that we have allowed to happen because they've sold it to us as benevolent.
But I think it's not even benevolence. I think there's just I think that probably 80% of people do not get involved. And so it's easy to.
And the whole point,
here's the thing that people need to understand is that a government, the intention of the Constitution was this is by the people, for the people. But if you do not if people are not the energy, the ones driving it, then it gets easily manipulated and controlled by those that pay attention to it. And then so when 80% of your citizenry believes one that they don't want to participate or they don't make a difference or whatever the mindset is, then it's easy to install people to control. And
exactly.
The problem is that people don't understand that they're now subjects. They're subjects to control of. And so they don't understand why they should participate.
Well, I'll tell you, the people in Los Angeles that lost their homes in Palisades, all these rich fucks who are hard, who are dyed-in-the-wool Democrats, they're going to get a huge dose of a reality check when they want to rebuild their houses that got burned down. And we'll see how rapidly the mindset of government participation changes.
Yeah. Well, you know, here's I will have to say that there is a civics lesson that's either hard to learn or you don't learn it and you get fucked by not knowing. And the reason I say this, like I left California when I think, what age was I? 40 years old. And then I started working for the U.S. government. And before that, the way I have felt is that, well, you know, I didn't know enough.
I didn't know you were out here. Where did you live? Where did you live out here?
I was in Silicon Valley. I lived in San Francisco for.
Oh, okay. I didn't. Yeah. You may have told me that, and I had forgotten.
Did, you forgot. You think I just am a DC person, but no, for the first 38-40 years of my life, I was basically a West, you know,
West Coaster.
Well, I was Silicon Valley, you know, but, and I never paid attention to politics because I was consumed, you know, with the Silicon Valley, oh, how great we were, whatever. And then it wasn't until I moved to DC that I started getting my eyes open and understanding what even our country was about or anything about, you know, a civics lesson, except for what I got in high school. And so there's a huge level of under awareness of the country and the government that you live in. There's such a, and this is why I like legal immigrants. Those motherfuckers know way more than most, excuse my language. They always know way more because they have to in order to become citizens. And the thing is that people that are born in the United States don't get the awareness of what it is, the responsibility of owning, of being a participant of.
I'll tell you the Americans, and I don't mean to cut you off, but I'll tell you the Americans who do know are the ones who have traveled abroad. The ones specifically that have been in the military, they've seen the world and they mm-hmm. know.
I agree. I agree more. 100%.
What a shithole most places are.
Yeah, people who have been in the military and they've gone around the world and they've seen things, they have a much greater appreciation for the United States than those who live here and just take it for granted and assume the rest of the world is the same. And, you know, you're 100% right. The immigrants who come here know why they want to come here.
Exactly.
And when they get here, you know, it's funny to me, and I don't want to pick on, I'm not trying to pick on black people. Okay. That's not what I'm trying to do, but you know, you've got a large swath of the black population in the United States that have been sold this mindset of victimhood, of racism and all this other crap. Meanwhile, you know, and I've got several friends who are, they're black, but they're not. They weren't born here. They were born in Africa, you know, Nigeria, Ghana, whatever. And they come over here and they bust their ass and they become business owners and all this other stuff. And, you know, and they don't, to them, race doesn't get in the way. Because they haven't been sold a bill of goods that the world is out to get them.
100%. They have not bought into the I'm less than.
Right. Or the world is against me.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't accomplish this without, mm-hmm. Without some sort of a help, you know, with some sort of a government program to come in and, you know, and say, oh, well, you know, we need to have an X amount of black people be in government now, you know, the you heard that. I know you guys know who Adam Carolla is. Yes. So he actually, when he was like, I think he's 18 years old or whatever, and he applied to work for the as a volunteer firefighter, and by the time that they sent him a letter to come down and like sign up, it was like took him like 7 years, and he turned around, and when he was in line at this place, he turned around and he asked, there was a young black girl who was behind him, and he asked her, he's like, when did you get your letter? When did you apply for this? And she says, last week. And he had applied. It had been 7 years for him. And so, Trump has been talking about going back to a meritocracy. And, you know, to me, a meritocracy is what am I trying to say? It's about putting the right people in the job for that,
personal
that
are, excellence,
are qualified, being rewarded. That are qualified for the job, and it's equality of opportunity, not equality of outcome.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. And personal excellence being rewarded.
Right. Well, we all know that. Let's take 9/11 for example. You know, the generals that were in charge of all of the operational things going on 9/11, you would think, looking at Pearl Harbor, because this was the new Pearl Harbor. You know, people forget that during Pearl Harbor, you had the Army commander, General Walter Short, and the Naval commander, the commander-in-chief Pacific Fleet was Husband Kimmel. That was his name. They were fired and relieved of command, and they were lambasted and made as the scapegoats for the Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor. Well, the guys who were in charge of the aerospace control of North America, those guys were rewarded and promoted. Well, what's the difference? What's the difference in those two scenarios? The difference is that a long time ago, they were culling military commanders that were competent in favor of military commanders who weren't competent. And now what they've got is they've got a whole host of military commanders who are absolutely incompetent, and they fail upwards.
And exactly. And here's a point. How many 4-star generals are there now?
It's way too many.
It's like 100.
I thought it was like close to 100.
In our forces, and during World War II, we had 17 million men and women in uniform, and we had 6 4-star generals, 2 5-star, or 3. I think it was. You had Eisenhower. You had.
There was 9. There was ultimately 9 men who achieved 5 stars, but
over the course. But during that war, there was only 3. I think it was MacArthur. What was it? One admiral.
Well, you had MacArthur, Stupak. Leahy. You had Leahy. You had
MacArthur was Halsey. 5. Eisenhower was 5.
Halsey,
I don't think
Nimitz.
It was Halsey. It was Nimitz. Nimitz was 5, if I'm not mistaken. So you had 6 4-stars and 2 to 3 5, because they were theater commanders, Europe, Pacific. And then you had, 3, but usually most of them were 1 and 2. Brigadier and major generals, because those were the guys who got the shit done.
Yeah, they were the fleet commanders in the Navy. They were the admirals that were actually on board the carriers who were in charge of like a little battle group. You had the ship's commander, but
today
then you had
that outrageous number of 4-stars. What's your responsibility that traditionally justifies that? Nothing, other than you're getting really nice pay. you're going to have a really nice retirement. But you were pushed up because you fucked up in most cases. And I know that firsthand.
Mm-hmm.
They were pushed up because they fucked up.
Well, they were basically, they were rewarded to fuck up.
Yeah. Sometimes what would appear to be a fuck up, which was actually serving the agenda to take this country down.
I don't
want to see these little bastards hiding behind the stars and uniforms, retired or not, when the gauntlet drops, because they need to be called first on the carpet, along with the rest of the politicos.
Well, and it gets back to the ending of Sum of All Fears when Nessun Dorma was playing. Here, I'm going to play that real quick because it talks about, you know, what it is that not all justice is going to be publicized. There's going to be a lot of justice. The drops talked about it it was initially 80-40 and then it became 60 or 80-20 and then they're like, okay, 60-40. But I mean, 60% of the justice is going to be rendered and things are not going to be told to the public because I don't think the public can handle it. But this will be, you know, this is the music that Trump played at every single event. I love that. I could watch that 50 times and it never gets old. It's just awesome.
Well, number one, no matter how cold it is, if you're going out to see if a car has a bomb in it and you're the schmuck that they give you the keys and say, go start it up. Number one, I don't care how cold it is. You leave the door open. You sit with your leg. You get trained to do this. You sit with your legs out. Then you reach over, cock your head away, turn the key, and if it blows up, you get blown out. Now, you're going to get hurt, but you get blown out of the car. They never show that in the films properly. I don't know why. Because that guy's like going, oh, I'm good. I'm going to turn the key.
I know. You said, as soon as he starts the car, he's like, oh, God.
Yeah. The door should have been open. His legs should have been out. He should have been facing out. The car blows up. You get blown away from it.
Right.
You know, you might not live. You may or may not live, but you got a better chance of living, surviving it. But I loved that the Schreiber character, I think, set that up too, where he knew first thing he's going to do is light a cigarette when he gets in that car, rig it to the, you know, the button for the cigarette lighter.
Well, you know, and I wonder, you know, I mean, so much that Tom Clancy wrote was is all done as fiction, but there was a lot of stuff that he wrote.
He was an insurance salesman, but he had a lot of friends.
Yeah.
But that might have been his cover because
right.
You have a number of writers who are out there. I'm not going to name names because they're hacks to begin with. They're horrible writers. You're not going to see one of them ever known for their literary prowess, but they go out there and whitewash things like WMDs and what happened with certain people surrounding the 13-hour situation. Not necessarily that book. That was actually kind of close to, very close to what really happened, but you get a lot of them out there who, let's whitewash all this. And that's what they do. So I don't know if Clancy was a good novelist that was then, and I don't care to find out either, but I would say he's a good novelist who had a lot of friends inside they and other agencies, and that, yeah, I'm writing this, or can you write something along these lines? Yeah, would love to. And then he's filled in with all the details that you, up until that comes out, it wouldn't actually be available to most people. So, you know, okay, great books.
See we're having a block party. I see we're having a block party. Somebody was some troll came into the chat. I missed it, but my chat has been lately in the last week or so. I've had a significant amount of trolls and bots in the chat that are just coming up and saying all kinds of crazy shit. So I don't know. Maybe I'm doing something right. I don't know.
Oh, wait a minute. Let me see. Digital Hybrid said bye to you too, asshole, and take your, you know.
His username was Trump Loves Anal Beads.
Oh, good Lord. Yeah, that's some tool or bot coming in.
Yeah.
God. Trump loves. Give me a break. His are gold, solid gold, damn it.
All right.
Trump loves solid gold anal. I'm just joking, too. No, that's crazy. That's absolutely crazy.
Isn't it, though? Absolutely.
Anybody
nuts.
Comes in with a name like that, you know, go back to your, go adjust your nose piercing.
Yeah. Or, well, guys, we're coming
or
on.
Or Norcom, shut that fucker off because
right.
You're too stupid to know you can't insert it here.
We are at about the 2.5 hour mark, and I think I'm going to go ahead and close it down for tonight because I actually been getting up and going to the gym, but that means I got to get up at 4. So,
Jim, who?
Yeah,
you get earlier than I do.
I know, right? I'm on the West Coast and you're on East Coast time.
I'm 3 hours different. He still gets up earlier than
I. So, but the alarm, my alarm actually goes off at 10 minutes to 4, so that's kind of like my buffer, so that when 4 o'clock comes, it's like, ooh, that's when I gotta, like, you know, feet hit the deck. So, But it's about 7:30 for me right now, and I gotta I've got little fur babies that I gotta go take care of, and do a couple of the chores before I crash out. So, but this is this is actually, I really had a good time tonight. This was a lot of fun. I think we covered a shit ton of ground,
and we still didn't get to everything.
No. What are you talking about? Well, I thought we covered everything. I mean, we didn't talk about Greenland. We didn't talk about the Panama Canal,
or the sovereign, the new,
the crypto stuff.
Yeah, the sovereign wealth fund.
Well, I played that clip, but we didn't really dive into it. So,
well, someone did ask a question. I hate to interrupt, but MB20 says, asking again, is the U.S. Treasurer on Sparks tribal land in Nevada? Yes, during his first term, a certain component of that was moved to the Sparks Six Nations tribal land. What's going on there? Why it's going on there? There's nothing to say about that other than yes to your question.
Yeah, it's the United States has so much gold and silver in the ground, a lot of silver hasn't even come up yet, and it's all in Nevada.
Nevada would be the fourth largest gold producer in the world if it were its own private nation. At its current production,
gold or silver?
It can be gold. Silver also, by the way. It would be actually third in silver, second or third in silver. But a lot of it is, you know, left in the ground for strategic purposes. Let's take it from other places before we take what we have.
Right.
And that's usually always, you know, a good strategy. But
I agree. Another thing we didn't talk about
actually gets into the, not that we want to get into it tonight, otherwise it's going to be a long conversation, but I think it gets into the what the sovereign wealth fund could lead to. It's exactly tied to that, and ties to the whole concept of crypto or blockchain. Backs into that because that's how you account for it, but we don't need to go there.
No, we'd be here for three more hours.
Exactly. But that's but that is definitely
Ron's got to go see Jim, some guy named Jim. I got to get some. You're on Eastern time, so you need some sleep too.
Yeah. Yep. And, I have to take my poop machine out. My dog, he's like, yeah, you feed me and then you take me out and collect my shit. That's all I'm good for. What are you doing, mining my crap?
You're shit miner.
That must be worth some gold or something, man. I don't know.
that's funny. Oh, that was actually pretty good. That was hilarious.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Well, on that note, we had a good laugh, thank you for tonight. This was a lot of fun.
See you next week.
Thank you both.
Yeah, absolutely. And we'll see you guys or maybe even sooner. Who knows? I'm sure that I will be talking to both of you. Yeah. You know, in the very near future before next week. So,
okay.
Cause I still need to talk to you about that video I sent. Did you have a chance to look at it?
To who?
To you?
To me? Which? Oh, well, I'll have.
You remember the one that was like 10 hours long?
Oh, I've only been able to watch like 2 hours of it yet. So I haven't finished it, but, you haven't posted it?
Oh, no, not yet. Because I'm waiting on you because I
for me to finish? Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm waiting on you to watch it. It's from freaking 20 years ago plus. Yeah. So if I wait a day or two or a week or two, it's not gonna matter. But when I do it, I want to have you talk about some stuff because you can probably
add some perspective.
Right.
All right. All right. We'll check.
And Ghost maybe even as well. I haven't sent it to him, but I should.
It would be interesting. I would be interested to see what his perspective is. Because you know anybody that's been in the military, that might have brushed up against some of these issues, and I think you should send it to him, and I would love to see what
I will
he sees about it, because it's pretty it's
raw.
It's
raw. It's very long. It's 10 hours in total, and I've already broken it up into roughly 1 hour, 1 hour segments. Some are like, you know, 50 minutes, some are like an hour and 10. But it's, you know, I did it in such a way that there was a natural break.
Definitely send it to Ghost, because I would love to hear his perspective, because here's the thing. There was a lot of reference to specific services and certain exposure that you get within those services, and you know what I'm saying. And and so certain, it's just like compartmentalization. It's like some people get to see. I obviously got exposed to a lot more special operators, so you know I got to see one side of it, and you know people that have served in other parts of the military will have seen other pieces of it. So.
For those of you who are curious and you want to just go look for it on your own, it's Kate Griggs, KateGriggs. And it was an interview that she did. You can find it on BitChute. I think it's still on. It's actually
on YouTube
YouTube as well. But it's literally like a 10-hour long video, and but you can find it in parts.
Really,
but I'm going to upload
like
it on my channel.
Dark side of the military.
Yeah, it is very dark. So, it's all of the dark side that has been that infiltrated post World War II with the with the clandestine services.
Yeah. So if anybody follows this concept of white hat and black hat military, it kind of gives you an understanding of where the dividing lines can be.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the best way I could describe it, you know, just in general terms would be, officer versus enlisted.
That's the general, and then the indoctrination, the methods, and everything.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, but that's another topic for whole another day.
Yeah.
So
that's a R-rated or
almost X-rated.
X-rated. Yeah.
Is it?
It's pretty.
I'm watching. Yeah, send it. I'm watching.
Let Ghost look. I'd be interested to see what Ghost thinks about it. I mean, some people may never get exposed to this.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, they may. Well, here, I'm going to say good night, everybody. You guys go enjoy yourself. Shelly, go stick around for a second, and everybody have a great night. And I will see you tomorrow. Got the Constitution and Tuesday with Mike. So we'll see you guys mañana. Have a good night, everybody.
Good night.
God bless.